Hey, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft. Today in SQL Shorts, we want to cover a topic that is interesting to a lot of people, and that is installing SharePoint with a Power Pivot and Power View flavor. So the agenda for today is to look at what software is needed to do this. If setting up a domain controller is important to you, then that's something that you should consider. In my case, I'm not going to set up a DC, but that's something that you will need for this. And the next thing would be to do is set up a separate machine with Windows on it that has both SharePoint and SQL 2012. So what you're going to need as far as software goes is Windows Server, SharePoint Server 2010 with Service Pack 1. That's really important to have. It'll save you a lot of time and extra steps. You need SQL Server 2012. Right now, release candidate 0 is out, but over time, the actual RTM version will be out. And you need Office 2010, specifically for Excel 2010 with Power Pivot. You can go to powerpivot.com or just Bing search on Power Pivot, and it'll take you to the Microsoft site that has the Power Pivot download. Make sure that you take the download that pertains to your version of Office, whether it's 32-bit or 64-bit. If you need to set up a domain controller, then I found a YouTube video that walks you through it, and this is the title and the URL for that. If not, if you already have a DC set up, then you can skip this step, but this was a good video for me as a non-infrastructure person to learn how to set up and configure a domain controller with Active Directory on it. It's fairly straightforward and a good video. The next thing would be to install Windows Server 2008 R2 on the machine that's going to be the SharePoint server that's going to contain the PowerPivot and PowerView files. And last but not least, probably most importantly, is once you've installed the operating system that's gonna run SharePoint, what you want to do is follow these steps. And these are the steps that we're going to go through today in the video. The steps are to install SharePoint Server with the two options of Server Farm and Complete. Then what you're going to do is install SQL 2012 PowerPivot for SharePoint. You want to configure that PowerPivot installation once that's done. Then what you're going to want to do is install SQL Server 2012 Analysis Services Tabular Model and then Reporting Services with SharePoint Server integrated. Once that's done, what you want to do is create Reporting Services application and specific content types. Then install Office 2010 specifically for Excel and Power Pivot. And then you want to test out Power Pivot and Power View, which we'll do as part of the video. So without further ado, let's go on to the actual server itself and start to walk through these steps. So what we see here is that we've got the SharePoint Server installation screen. I clicked on the executable for SharePoint, and what we'll do is go ahead and install the software prerequisites. There's many prerequisites that are built into the SharePoint installer, so we don't really need to worry about what those are, but just knowing different roles like IIS role and some of the things like different service packs and configuration tools that we need. So let's go ahead and run through this. A lot of the stuff is already installed to finish on this. The next thing what we're going to do is click on the Install SharePoint Server link. If all the prerequisites have been completely done, then we should be good to go. We also want to put in the license key here as well. We're going to put the license key in, accept the agreement, and at this point, what we're going to do is select the correct option. If you remember back to our slide deck, we are going to come in and select the server farm and complete options. So let's go server farm and complete and let this install. So at this point, we've finished running the first part of the SharePoint setup. What we're going to do is uncheck this checkbox, and we're not going to run the SharePoint config wizard now. We're just going to close this out. So that kind of finishes the first piece around SharePoint. Typically, if you didn't have SP1 installed, you would do it at this point. It's important to do that. And what we'll do now is we're going to exit out of this, and we're going to run the setup for SQL Server, and we're going to begin that process at this point. So if we're following along with this PowerPoint deck, then this is the part where we're going to install SQL 2012, the PowerPivot flavor for SharePoint. So I'm going to come in here to my SQL Server files and run setup. One of the important things to know too is when you're running this setup, you want to have all your installs or your updates installed on your Windows box. This includes Service Pack 1 if you don't have SP1 installed for Windows or the latest service pack, then the install for SQL Server 2012 will not go past the first step. So because I did not have the Service Pack 1 installed for Windows, I went ahead and did that. And I'm going to go ahead and run the SQL Server setup again. And again, we're going to run through the PowerPivot setup. So we'll go ahead and click on the installation here and go with the new standalone. You would typically enter your product key here in the product key area. So I'm getting a warning here that possibly the Windows firewall could be blocking things. So I'm just going to check that out and make sure that my firewall is taken care of in terms of the settings on it. This really depends on the scenario that you're in. So obviously be as secure as possible, but also make sure that you have enough ports open that you can successfully run the installation. I'm going to go with the SQL Server PowerPivot installation. I'm also going to leave the checkbox selected for add the relational engine as well. So we'll get the SQL Server PowerPivot as well as the relational engine. I'm also going to go with the defaults here. If you wanted to change the directory, you're more than welcome to do that. I'm going to set the agent to automatic. You can set it however you want. Looks like I also have to put a analysis services credential in the service name. So I'm going to go ahead and add my account name password. I'm okay with the default collation, but we'll just check that real quick just to make sure we're good with it. So we'll hit next on this. And on here, I'm just going to add the current user. If you want to go mixed mode, you can always do that just so you can have a extra password and login. It's not necessarily best practice. It's best practice to stay in more of just a Windows authentication mode only. So actually, I'm just going to do that. For best practices. Next. Again, I'm going to add the current user to this screen, analysis services configuration. And this will give you all the different options that you've got. And at this point, you might want to go get a cup of coffee or something like that. The installation is going to take you a while, but once this is done and if it installs successfully, you'll have a PowerPivot installation set up. So to kind of find out where we're at in the process right now, if we go back to our installation guide, we'll be done with the 2012 installation, and then we'll go into the PowerPivot configuration piece after that. So the installer finished running for SQL Server. Now we're going to go into SQL Server Management Studio to make sure that our instances installed. We should have a relational database server. So we can go to our database engine, hit connect. So we'll have our relational database. You can see by the icon here, the yellow and green icon, and the gold and green icon. And then we should have an analysis services instance with the same name. You can see that it's a named instance. And this is our PowerPivot VertiPack engine running and analysis services as well. So that's good news. We've got those things installed. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at our next step. Our next step should be to configure PowerPivot for SharePoint. So we're going to go back to our virtual machine. And there's a new idea here called the PowerPivot configuration tool. So I'm going to go ahead and run this. What this will allow us to do is configure PowerPivot fully. So we're going to run this. So it's configure repair PowerPivot for SharePoint. And what this does, it's kind of a one-stop shop to go ahead and configure all of PowerPivot. At first blush, it looks pretty daunting. There's a lot of verbiage here. There's a script that gets generated and an output file. But typically, all you need to do is come in and put your password in for your domain. And then you might have a passphrase for your SharePoint instance. Once that's done, there's a validate button, and you see that all these icons here have turned to green, and they're ready to start running things like configuring your farm, your local service instances, default web applications, SharePoint dependencies, all these things, Excel services, all these things are going to happen at the validate button. So we're going to hit the validate button. It's going to go ahead and configure PowerPivot for you. And the good news is it succeeded in the validation, so we're going to run it now. So let's go ahead and hit yes. I'm going to run this thing. So at this point, we're done configuring that the PowerPivot configuration tool. Looks like we've got good results here, good news. And what we're going to do now is we're going to come in and we're going to run SQL Server setup again, and we're going to set up some different flavors of SQL Server. What I want to show you here is what we've done so far is this install number one. The first install, what it did is it installed a PowerPivot named instance. It's an analysis services, and that's specifically for SharePoint. So in here we could put SharePoint. And then we also, with that, we had to click the checkbox to install the relational database management system. Now what we're going to do is install reporting services and analysis services tabular mode. So there's actually three flavors of SharePoint, or rather of SQL Server as it relates to these new modes. There's one that relates to PowerPivot, there's a tabular model, and there's also just your traditional SQL Server analysis services slash OLAP. So we're not installing the OLAP engine here, but we did install PowerPivot for SharePoint, and now we're going to install the tabular mode. So we'll come to our SQL Server files, we're going to run setup. Go back to your standalone installation. go ahead and hit next on this dialog. And then what we're going to do is we're going to perform a new installation of SQL Server. So go ahead and hit next on this. You usually enter your product key here. Set the license terms. And what we're going to do is the SQL Server feature installation. We've already done the Power Pivot one. And we're going to pick specific features on this time. So what we're going to do is we're going to look for the features that allow us to install one analysis services. We'll be able to pick a tabular mode for this. And then for reporting services, we want the ultimately we're doing a Crescent or what's known as PowerView now installation, and that's where we want to have the reporting services integration piece. So I go ahead and hit next on this. So at this point, we could either put a name instance in for SQL Server or just go with the default. And this is again going to install reporting services as well as the tabular model and analysis services. Let's go with the default. What this is going to allow us to do is have a direct query mode that we can go directly to database engines like SQL Server from tools like PowerView. And that's where the direct query model comes in. You don't have to have it cached as you do in the Excel slash Power Pivot type mode. So this allows you to create essentially a metadata wrapper around something like SQL Server or eventually Oracle and go directly to the underlying database and create your model that way. I'm going to put in credentials here, and at this point I'm going to add the current user. I also want to make sure that I'm not going with the traditional OLAP engine, but that I'm going with the tabular model. It's a very important step here. If you select the wrong button there, you're going to get a traditional OLAP engine, and you're going to miss out on the tabular, and your install is not going to work. At this point, this is showing that it installs a report server only. After installation, we have to run central admin to complete the configuration. This gives you a kind of a summary of what you're about to do. Hit install and go ahead and install. Again, the tabular and reporting services models. At this point, you can see that we got analysis services installed, tabular model, reporting services for SharePoint as well. So let's close this out. Now I'm just going to go into SharePoint and make sure everything's configured correctly. I'm just going to run through and make sure that everything is the way it ought to be when I go into SharePoint. So it's going to run through all the different configuration steps, nine configuration steps, and we'll go from there. So that piece is done. Now it looks like it's going to start up central admin, so that's good. Go ahead and walk through the wizard here. At this point, it's going to ask us kind of what services that we want to have installed. And I'm just going to accept the defaults right now. You can see that it's going to install things like Performance Point, Search, Power Pivot's a must, so it's going to be on. We've got reporting services as well, the State Service, Visio, things like that. So I'll hit next here. Oh, I also need, I'm going to go with my default domain admin account. That's not necessarily a best practice. You need to figure out which accounts you want to run the SharePoint services under. But I'll leave that up to your discretion. At this point, I'm going to come in and install reporting services, analysis services, tabular mode. This is going to allow us to run Power Pivot and Power View in the context of reporting services. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to actually name it an instance called Tab for tabular model. So let's go ahead and run our setup. And what we're going to do is install both reporting services and the tabular model for this install process. Go ahead and hit OK here. So this time we're not going to do the Power Pivot installation. You saw on that last screen it gave us the option of doing a Power Pivot. We've already got Power Pivot installed, so what we're really interested in doing at this point is getting analysis services installed and a tabular model, which is super important to remember that, and also to get reporting services installed. Let's go ahead and run the SharePoint configuration tool. Go ahead and run the SharePoint product configuration wizard that's located on the SharePoints node. We'll go ahead and run through the configuration wizard at this time. You can see it's going to put in all the different services here, like business connectivity services, Performance Point, Visio. We've also got things like Excel services running. Let's go into our SharePoint site now and the central admin. What we're going to do is create a Power Pivot site. What we'll do is come in central admin, go to create site collection. And what we'll do here is create a Power Pivot site. Site administrator. Okay, now what this is going to do is it's going to create our Power Pivot site for us. So that's complete now. If we click on this link, it'll take us to our Power Pivot site. At this point, what we're going to do is create an application pool for reporting services, and we definitely need to make sure that we associate that with the default website. So let's go ahead and create a reporting services application. So we'll call this SSRS app. We'll create a new pool here, application pool. We'll go with the default login, the domain admin in this case. Database server, it's going to be the relational database that we have as a named instance. It's going to create this database name for reporting services. And we'll use Windows Auth. Super important to make sure you check this checkbox here. You need to associate this with the SharePoint site. If you don't do that, then Power View is not going to work. So it looks like that
Reporting services service application was successfully created. That's great. So it's right down here. Also got Excel 2010 as well as I went to powerpivot.com and installed Office. Great content types. If you want to know how to manage content types, you can go to this article on Microsoft. So what we'll do is we'll go into our site and configure these settings. So we've got a shared documents piece in our Power Pivot site. What you want to do now is go into your library and into your library settings. And then there's a advanced settings under general. And then in our content types, what we want to do is say yes to allow the management of content types. So that's right over in the checkbox over here. So we'll say yes on that. And then we'll hit OK. Go back to our shared documents tab here. Click on the library tab. Go into the library settings. In the library settings, we'll say there's a link in the library settings to add existing site content types. So click on that. In this selection, we'll add the BI semantic model connection type and anything else that you want to do from, say, Power Pivot to maybe report builders if you're interested in that. And that should be good enough. We'll hit OK on that. Now we go back to our shared documents in the site. What we'll see is that when we go to add a new document, that there's this BI semantic model connection available now So to this point, we've configured the content types. What we're going to do now is in this, we're going to install Office 2010. And within that, we'll install the Power Pivot add-in by going to powerpivot.com, then we'll test the whole thing out. So what I'm going to do now is I've got the 64-bit Office edition because I'm running a 64-bit machine. Typically, this would be on a client machine. You don't usually want to put it on the server, but I'm going to put it on the server just so for purposes of demonstration. And after that, what we want to do is go to something like powerpivot.com. At the powerpivot.com site, that will take you to a link where you can download the free Power Pivot add-in. So if you go over to this Power Pivot link, and then there'll be a download link that you can download Power Pivot right here. Again, you want to make sure that you install the correct version of it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to download the 64-bit here, and I'll just put that on the desktop. And we can run it from or I'll put on the downloads, we can run it from our download area once it's done. Another good thing you might want to do is find a sample database. And if you've got a CodePlex, you can also find like a database like AdventureWorks. So what we'll do is we'll download the AdventureWorks database, and we'll use that as a test for our Power Pivot and Power View. So on CodePlex, I see there's this AdventureWorks data file that looks good enough for us. So let's go ahead and download that. We'll save that into our downloads. And once that's done, we'll be able to have a database that we can leverage for our install of Power Pivot and Power View. So at this point, we've now got Office installed on the machine. And we need to now install the Power Pivot client. So if we look on here, we see that we've got Microsoft Office and Excel, but we don't have the Power Pivot add-in yet. So let's go ahead and run this tool. This point, we've got to run the Power Pivot add-in, but it's going to fail because we're missing an add-in. So we need to add this Visual Studio 2010 tools for Office if we're actually installing it on the server. So let's go ahead and do that. So we've got the tools for Office runtime. We're going to download the 64-bit version of this and run it.
At this point now we can run the Power Pivot add-in.
So we'll go ahead and set that up, the 64-bit version. So at this point, Power Pivot is installed. Now what we want to do is take our sample database and we're going to actually attach that to our SQL Server. So what we'll go ahead and do is go to the Start menu and we'll go into the SQL Server Management Studio. And we can just add this to the one of the database locations. And so what we're going to do is find a relational database server. So let's go and pick the Power Pivot instance so we can attach it to databases here. And we'll just attach it from there. So the desktop experience is installed again on the server. Oftentimes you really would never have to do that, but because for this special case, I'm going to have the tools, the Office tools on the actual server itself, then for a server, it requires the desktop experience to upload from Excel into SharePoint. So the server's been restarted and it's finishing up the desktop experience at this point. All right, so that piece is done now. So now we can go ahead and start creating our Power Pivot workbooks. So what we'll do is we'll go into Office Excel. This point now we have the Power Pivot ribbon bar up here. What this gives us is the ability to go to this Power Pivot window and import data. So we clicked on that. Power Pivot is now going to give us a built-in database system into Excel. So what we want to do is just pull data from our local SQL Server. And I'm just going to use the local machine name shortcut. And I believe that's where we put our database. So let's go to that database, the AdventureWorks one. And we'll just pull in a bunch of fact table data with some related dimensions. Why don't we pull in our sales order header and sales order details, select any related tables that belong to those two tables. And then what we'll do is we'll import that data into a cached mode of Power Pivot. So there's direct query and then there's cached mode. Cached mode is means all the data is going to be stored inside of the context of Excel. So this is essentially an ETL engine that's going to pull data into the Power Pivot VertiPack store within Exchange, or within Excel rather. And this is just pulling data in. It's a really efficient engine and it's going to store the data in a compressed format. On good days, it'll do a 90% compression on numeric data. And once we're done with this, all the data then will be stored in this VertiPack store here. And then we can do reporting off of that. So what we'll do is we'll create a pivot table and pivot chart essentially. Let's do that on a vertical format. And again, all this is the reason that we're doing this is we're building a BI semantic model that we're going to be able to see both in Excel services now that we've added Excel services to our SharePoint, as well as it's a data source that we can leverage through something like Power View, which we also installed. So let's add some data here real quick to say the chart. Let's go to sales order header and we'll add in things like the tax amount. And because these are all related to things like customers and credit cards and sales and things like that, we can add that information as well. So let's go ahead and add in, I don't know, store ID, for instance. And the last thing we might want to do is for a credit card, we might want to look at card type and put that on a slicer. So now that we've got all this information, we can come in and publish it up to SharePoint. So let's publish it up to SharePoint. We'll do save and send, save to SharePoint, and we'll browse for a location. So what I did is I put the name of the PowerPivot site in here, and now we can just browse to the PowerPivot gallery, and we can just add whatever name we want. So we'll call it PowerPivot1. What this is doing, it's adding this PowerPivot workbook up into the SharePoint site that we're testing it out. Then we're also gonna, by doing this, we're adding a BI semantic model that is contained in this table structure over here. When this is uploaded, then we will have the ability to view it in Power View, which is gonna be nice. So this is nice. It opened it up in the PowerPivot gallery in Excel Services. So this is actually Excel running the context of a browser. And all the things like the slicers still work as well as they did in Excel. Now what we can do is take this spreadsheet, and because there's a data source that's behind it, we can view that in the Power View tool. So let's go back to the PowerPivot gallery. Now you need to have Silverlight installed when you have PowerPivot running in the gallery. So let's go ahead and run that so that we get the full functionality of the Silverlight gallery. So if we go to this PowerPivot gallery now, we should see our workbook. At this point, what we're going to do is create an application pool for reporting services, and we definitely need to make sure that we associate that with the default website. So let's go ahead and create a reporting services application. So we'll call this SSRS app. We'll create a new pool here, application pool. We'll go with the default login, the domain admin in this case. Database server, it's going to be the relational database that we have as a named instance. It's going to create this database name for reporting services. And we'll use Windows Auth. Super important to make sure you check this checkbox here. You need to associate this with the SharePoint site. If you don't do that, then Power View is not going to work. So it looks like that reporting services service application was successfully created. That's great. So it's right down here. So now that we've gone through the exercise of setting all this stuff up, we have the privilege now of actually testing it all out. So we've created a PowerPivot workbook, we've configured our reporting services and our SharePoint library, and now when we go to the PowerPivot gallery, we get this nice view of our document that we can open up in, like we said, Excel services and things like that. Another nice feature too is that you get the ability to take this and leverage it in the context of, say, a carousel if you want. And this carousel is a Silverlight carousel. The nice part too is you get this added feature of being able to create a Power View report from this data source. If you click on the Power View link here, what's going to happen? It's going to launch the Power View reporting engine. And because we created that BI semantic model in Excel and it's published out of SharePoint, now we can come in here and just start adding report features like title. And you can click on the dialog here and you can start adding things like if you want to start looking at things that you're measuring. Say for instance, you want to look at line total. And so you can just again start adding these things to the canvas. And you can look at, say you want to look at, say things by sales territory, for instance. You might look at the grouping here. And you can slice and dice stuff. You can start doing column charts, all sorts of cool things. And so since you set this up, now you have the privilege of kind of coming in and creating your own content here. So it's a great experience and something you should definitely play around with. One other thing to think about too is that you don't have to create the experience just from. So now with the fact that we've published the spreadsheet up to SharePoint, we can simply click on the spreadsheet if we want to look at an Excel services. And again, that's the web interface. If you wanted to, you could click the Excel link and you could actually download the content if you have permissions in SharePoint. The last thing I'd like to say is the reason that we created the content type in SharePoint was that so we could consume semantic models. And those semantic models might be from Excel, so they'd be in VertiPack in cached mode. But as well, they could be from something like Visual Studio. Now, Visual Studio is interesting because it supports cached or direct query going against SQL Server. And that means the model is just a metadata model that sits in a tabular instance of SQL Server. And the actual data is in an actual database of SQL Server. So you'd have SQL Server tabular that would have the metadata. And then you would have SQL Server relational with the actual data itself. And I'll step through this just to show an example of this, but let's go into Visual Studio, create a new project. We're going to create an analysis services tabular project called Tabular Project 8. And what I'll do to start off here is I'm going to change this direct query mode to be on. What that means is this model is just going to be a shell model. And when we pull the data in here from SQL Server is currently the only database that is supported by this type of project. But soon we'll have other databases like Oracle, etc., etc. What we want to do here is log in, first of all, and then what we're going to do is grab some of our tables. So let's go with our fact table, and we're going to pull the related tables. Now, what's going to happen here is we're essentially going to abstract out all those tables, and we're going to publish this metadata about those tables up into the tabular instance of SQL Server. So we've done the import here. And let's go to this project itself, go to the properties. We're going to publish it to the local host here. And we're going to change the query mode from VertiPack to direct query. What that means is that all the results are going to be returned directly from the data source. So if we go ahead and publish this now and deploy it, what that means is that we're deploying the metadata directly to the server for Tabular Project 8. So it says we're successful. So let's go over and look at, for clarification, let's look at our two different SQL servers. We've got this new blue model. It's a tabular model. And if I refresh this is going to be essentially just the shell of all the tables that we pulled in. The actual data lives in the traditional database over here, which is going to be AdventureWorks. So now that we know that's essentially a pass-through query to the back-end database, let's go into our self-service BI here, and we're going to go to our shared document center, go to the library, and we're going to create a connection for this thing that will allow us to create a Power View report. It used to be called a Crescent report. So let's create a BISM connection file. That's where it's nice to have those different connection types because now we can actually pull the data from the semantic model that we created. So let's go with Tabular Project 8. We're going to say the workbook or server name is localhost, and the BISM database is Tabular Project 8. So we could say this is a direct query against SQL Server through a model on a separate SSAS server running Tabular. Okay. So let's go ahead and hit OK here. Now, this means that if we go ahead and create a Power View or Crescent report at this point, it's going to be going through SQL Server, tabular to the back-end SQL Server relational. The advantage of this is we don't have to have the data cached. It can stay where it was. And then we can start creating our Crescent reports or Project PowerView.
Direct query.
We come into our fact table, we click on the design surface here, then we can start looking at different measures that we have. Say by product. And we might want to look at it in a columnar type of view. Some of the nice things about Power View as well is that you get some nice different types of charts. So once you've kind of decided on your schema and you've got everything organized, you can create these nice multi-dimensional charts where we can pick several measures if we want. And within those several measures, we can click on scatter plot here. The scatter plot allows you to have a multi-dimensional view of the world, and we might want to look at something like a time series as well. So let's go over to our dim date and add that in as well. So let's go with like calendar year essentially. And this gives us a nice kind of 3D chart of bubble chart. And if we look at kind of the properties of that chart, if we come down and understand that a little bit better, what we'll see is that there's a way to essentially have a play axis of calendar year. So if we put the play axis of calendar year in the bottom, then what we'll be able to do is get a time series over time. So if you click on this button, you'll be able to see kind of your item migrating over time. So it's a nice little nuance of Power View. If you want to try that sometime, give it a go. You can take it one step further by adding one more dimension to it. And then you get lots of different entities showing up on the same grid. Again, you can still play this over time, and you can pick an item, and if you want, out of the group, and it will cross-filter everything just by that item, both on the graph here that you see, as well as on the design surface. So hopefully this helps you understand kind of why we did things the way we did. And just as a review, we installed SharePoint with the correct options. We installed SQL Server 2012. Power Pivot for SharePoint specifically. We configured the Power Pivot SharePoint installation. Then we installed SQL Server 2012 analysis tabular model, so we get that nice pass-through ability. We integrated reporting services with SharePoint, so we get the nice ability to Power View. So if you want to put parentheses here, Power View. Then we created reporting services applications and content types. We were able to do that. And that gave us our ability to hook those into the BI semantic models. And then through Office 2010, we created a cached model that is a VertiPack model. And then we tested it in Power View and Power Pivot. And as well, we did Visual Studio. So hopefully that helps. Feel free to ping me if you want. I will put my email on here. It's Mike, WILM, at Microsoft.com. Thanks for listening to SQL Shorts, and have a great day.